Right now, though, we turn our attention to the biggest political story in the nation right now, one that has its roots right here in the San Joaquin Valley. Bakersfield's Kevin McCarthy has come a long way since he was working behind the counter at Kevin O's Deli. The Republican, who was first elected to the House in 2006, is now the most likely candidate to become the next Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives. Some say it's a thankless job. Just ask John Boehner, who struggled with members of his own party as much as he did President Obama at times. Still, the current House Majority Leader announced Monday he is seeking to become the 62nd Speaker of the House. What sort of Speaker might McCarthy become? And can he have more success than his predecessor, John Boehner? To tell us more, we have political junkie Ken Rudin, certainly a familiar voice to many Valley Public Radio listeners. Ken, welcome to Valley Edition.
Good morning, Joe.
So before we start with the Kevin McCarthy coronation, maybe we should take a step back. He has announced his candidacy to become the next Speaker of the House. Does he have any real competition, at least at this point?
Well, he has competition. I don't know how real it is. The only other Republican who's up for Speaker, who has announced for Speaker, is Daniel Webster, not the original Daniel Webster, but the congressman from Florida. He's very, very conservative, far more conservative than McCarthy. When Webster tried to become Speaker in January, when he challenged John Boehner, he got a whopping 12 votes. Now, I suspect if he's the only challenger to McCarthy, he'll get more than that, but he's not considered a threat at all.
Now, when you have the most conservative members in the House and the Republican Party agitated for this change, again, this controversy brought about in this case by the Planned Parenthood videos and the effort to defund that organization with the continuing resolution threat hanging out there. Was McCarthy someone that the House Freedom Caucus had in mind as a potential Boehner replacement, or is he someone outside of their ideological circle?
Well, he's not real. I mean, look, the reason Kevin McCarthy is the likely next Speaker is because as majority leader, he's the number two in the party, and he's done everything he can since he was first elected. Not only since he was first elected in 2006, but in 2010, he recruited many of the Republicans who were elected in that big Tea Party sweep in 2010. So a lot of members feel they owe their election to Kevin McCarthy. But at the same time, he is not an ideologue. He's not a policy guy. I mean, the question about him is, you know, some conservatives say whether he has vision. But again, it's almost impossible. It looks like it's almost impossible to stop him. There are a lot of conservatives who maybe they can make a lot of noise and they can make life difficult for John Boehner, as we've seen. And they'll probably make life difficult for Kevin McCarthy. But do they have enough strength to beat McCarthy with their own candidate? Unlikely. So the real battle is going to be who the number two Republican in the House will be, who the next majority leader will be, assuming that McCarthy is the Speaker.
Now, McCarthy has been in House leadership for some time now, first as GOP whip and then his current post as majority leader. So he is.
Wait, but you say some time now. It's only 5-6 years. That's what's so remarkable about this. If he's elected Speaker, I mean, he's been in the House for a total of nine years. The last time you got a Speaker with that little experience in the House was in the 19th century. It's remarkable how quickly Kevin McCarthy has moved up and advanced in these ranks.
So what accounts for that quick rise?
Well, I think a lot of it is, I mean, first of all, he's raised a lot of money. And unlike John Boehner, look, John Boehner is an institutionalist. He believed in the sanctity of the House. He didn't believe that shutting down the government is the way to go, even though he is very pro-life, very opposed to federal funding of Planned Parenthood. And so is Kevin McCarthy. But Kevin McCarthy at least worked and talked to more Tea Party members than Boehner did. From the beginning, he listened to what they had to say. And while he may not agree, he may not be ideologically attuned to them, he sounds like he's on the same page when he talks to them. He's a great schmoozer. He's very likable, very personable. He campaigns for them. I mean, he's more of a political kind of guy than an ideologue, but right now, that's good. That's probably good enough to get him elected Speaker.
You mentioned Kevin McCarthy is a good schmoozer, so to speak. I've heard stories about his remarkable memory of the families and the individual members of the House. He knows a lot about the members of his caucus. Is there any
and their districts.
Is there anything in his tenure as whip and then majority leader that we can foreshadow perhaps his potential speakership?
Well, you know something that's interesting. When he announced his candidacy yesterday and sent down a letter to all the Republican members of the House, he said, "I will have the courage to fight for conservative principles." And I wonder if that was a little jab at John Boehner. But ultimately, I still think that, look, the House is likely, almost more than likely, almost guaranteed to pass a short-term spending bill this week without the funding, without mention of Planned Parenthood in the language. That spending bill would go on until December 11th. I suspect that when December 11th comes, Kevin McCarthy will be in a very similar position John Boehner was in. How do you stand up to Obama and the Democrats while at the same time trying to wait off true believers, you know, the absolutists in the Tea Party caucus, who says the only way to make a difference is to shut down the government? So Kevin McCarthy may be, as we say, a schmoozer. He may be more in tune with Tea Party members, but ultimately he's going to have to make a decision in December about which way to go, and one suspects that he may be closer to the Boehner wing than the Tea Party wing.
To that degree, does it essentially matter who leads the House of Representatives at this point, given those divides?
No, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, the only difference is, look, Boehner's been in the House since 1990. This is pre-Gingrich Revolution times. He's been around a long time. The argument for McCarthy is that he's new. He understands the newer members, the younger members, the more conservative members better. But he's going to have to use all that power, that strength of personality that he has if he's going to unite the Republican Party, because right now the Democrats are sitting back and enjoying every minute of this.
We're talking with political junkie Ken Rudin today on Valley Edition about the political future of Bakersfield's Kevin McCarthy, potentially poised to become the next Speaker of the House. He announced his candidacy formally on Monday and seems to be the front runner in that race at this time. Ken, a little ironic that potentially the top elected Republican out there nationally could essentially be from a state where the GOP is really, really struggling statewide?
Well, they've been struggling basically since Pete Wilson used anti-immigrant language in his reelection in 1994. The Republican Party has not carried the state since then. It's also ironic that the top two members of Congress for both parties, Nancy Pelosi and Kevin McCarthy, are from the state, and that's unusual too. But you know, I've seen a lot of local reports about, well, this could be great news for Bakersfield, great news for Fresno. But I kind of think that as a national figure, as Kevin McCarthy becomes a national figure, he'll be much more involved in trying to, you know, calm the nerves of Tea Party and establishment regulars, and perhaps you'll see him less and less in the Valley in California.
Well, and certainly unlike his predecessor, former Ways and Means Chairman Bill Thomas, who was known for essentially bringing home the bacon for his district in Bakersfield, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars for new freeways and roads with a freeway project that's actually been named for him. There are no more earmarks in the House these days. Does that also make it more difficult to corral members of the party and bring them along now that we don't have earmarks?
Joe, you touched upon a very key point of why the Speaker doesn't have the power that he used to. Once upon a time, a Speaker of the House could say, look, I'll give you this bridge, I'll give you this road, I'll give you this money for your district if you vote with me. Right now, with all the perks eliminated by the Republicans in Congress, there's very little that the Speaker can offer individual members. So basically, there are a lot of we've created a whole bunch of free agents in the House, with the Speaker pretty much unable to bend members his way.
One area that Kevin McCarthy and Speaker Boehner seem to have at least some differences on is the issue of this export-import bank or import-export bank. Not to get too much into the details of that, but this is a government-backed financial institution that guarantees loans for foreign companies to buy products, major products, from U.S. manufacturers like GE and Boeing. McCarthy has been one of the most vocal critics of this program and has vowed to see that it does not continue, that the charter is not reauthorized. Boehner talked about the devastating, or which, as he said, potentially devastating, in his view, job losses that would occur if this does not happen. A, is this something that Boehner could try to push through in this last month? And B, is this a sign that maybe the two have different views on some issues like that?
Well, there are some differences, and that's also a very good point. Right now, with Boehner not having to worry about the 35 to 45 Tea Party Republicans yapping at his heels, maybe he can in the next, you know, he stays until October 30th, maybe he can push raise a debt ceiling. Maybe he could pass a highway bill. Maybe, you know, if you want to have a fantasy even further, maybe he could bring up an immigration bill, which John Boehner's wanted to do, or at least said he wanted to do, but, you know, conservatives have been battling on him tooth and nail from the beginning. But the Export-Import Bank, basically, the new wave of Republicans say this is just a sellout to corporate America. Once upon a time, the Republican Party was synonymous with corporate America, but I think with these new small government, anti-government Republicans who have been elected to Congress, the Export-Import Bank is one of those issues where conservatives say, that's big government and we don't want that.
Now, Kevin McCarthy does have some big ties with big business. He is not only from a district that is heavily influenced by the energy industry. The oil industry in Bakersfield is still a big deal and a big contributor to him. He also has strong ties with Silicon Valley, close friends. Well, I maybe shouldn't say close friends. He is friends with Elon Musk of Tesla and SpaceX. In fact, invited the billionaire entrepreneur to a big event that he hosted at CSU Bakersfield, his alma mater, last year. Also has met with Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook. There's been a lot of talk about his connections with Silicon Valley, also with the financial services industry. I've heard some people say this is, if McCarthy becomes speaker, this is the biggest boom for the commercial space industry potentially in years. What about his connections outside of maybe the traditional strengths of his district?
Well, I mean, I think that's the whole question about Kevin McCarthy, that, as I said earlier, you know, this guy is not big into policy. He's not big into ideology. I think he's obviously good on the economy and good on working relationships with corporations. But if you look at what's going on in the presidential race, and you listen to the Donald Trumps and the Ben Carsons of the world, they basically say that what's wrong with the political system is that these politicians are hand in hand or in bed with corporate America. And so, you know, that may be good for the district, that may be good for the region in California, that may keep Kevin McCarthy's constituents very happy. But there are those in the Republican Party who say this is what's wrong with politics, and you need an outsider, you need a non-politician to end that buddy system.
Speaker Boehner has said one of his biggest regrets is not getting that grand bargain with President Obama. What do we know about McCarthy's relationship with Obama, and do you think he's the type of person who would try to pursue something like that in his tenure?
Well, you know, I would suspect that since the Tea Party and the conservatives are very pleased that they got Boehner's head on a plate, the last thing McCarthy's want to do now is to work out this grand bargain with President Obama. Matter of fact, any kind of agreement with Obama now seems to be anathema for any kind of conservative. And McCarthy, this is probably the worst time in the world, the wrong time for McCarthy to talk about working with the president, working with Democrats. But you know something that's interesting about the Democrats? The Republicans, I mean, look, here's the thought is, we have the House, we have the Senate, and yet why is there still Obamacare? Why do we have a nuclear deal with Iran? Why is there still federal funding of Planned Parenthood? Many members feel that just because they control Congress, and I'm not belittling the thought of controlling Congress as a big deal, but just because they control Congress, they feel that all these things should be done, and that's why Boehner and Mitch McConnell in the Senate are failures, because how is this still allowed to be happening? And Boehner's argument is that, well, wait a second, that's not how government works. There is a president of a different party. Until that changes, not much will change. So a lot of conservatives and a lot of Tea Party folks don't recognize that.
So given the terrain that we've been talking about for the last 15 minutes politically, why would McCarthy want this job?
Well, you know, I mean, there are a lot of Democrats who say the same thing about Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders or Joe Biden or anybody who may be running for president. Who wants this job? I mean, given all the problems and the pressures and the conflicts and the battling back and forth, but if you go into politics to make a difference, and Kevin McCarthy certainly got into politics to make a difference, working for Bill Thomas, I mean, he was the master of trying to make a difference in the House of Representatives. You really think you can make a difference, but ultimately, you know, when all is said and done, you may sit there by yourself with perhaps a bottle of some kind of beverage and say, what did I ask for? What did I get myself into?
Before we go, how much of a difference do you think personality makes for a job like this? John Boehner was sort of an interesting character, often ridiculed in the media for his propensity to have a tear on his cheek at various times, and for his personal appearance, always very tanned and things. Kevin McCarthy presents a very different image. One need only look at the photo taken last week of the Speaker Boehner, House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy, and Pope Francis. McCarthy there is beaming and smiling. Boehner there with the tear moved emotionally by the event that he had tried to put together for decades with the Pope. What about Kevin McCarthy's personality? How do you think that will play out in trying to shape potentially his speakership?
I think personality does make a big difference. I think that the fact is that, you know, Boehner, as I said earlier, is so much of an institutionalist and not a backslapper, whereas Kevin McCarthy has been a backslapper since he came to Congress. I think it makes a big difference. I think one of the reasons voters, well, not the majority of the voters, but many voters picked Bush over Gore in 2000 was that Gore was seen as stiff and Bush was the kind of guy you want to have a beer with. But I mean, that's a crazy way to pick a president, but I think that a lot of people do decide that way. But I kind of think that the ideologues in Congress are no longer interested in platitudes. They're no longer interested in backslapping or personality. I really think they want results. I think they're angry enough to say that we've got to stand up for conservative principles. And I think in the end, a very genial personality just goes so far.
So before we go, in the last minute or so we have left, what's next? Boehner is in office through the end of this month before he steps down. This continuing resolution is presumed to get through in that time. That would get us to December. Do you think McCarthy or anyone else who's seeking this job is already trying to line up not only votes for a speakership, but also try to negotiate something for a continuing resolution fight later this year around Christmas?
Well, there's no question that when the current short-term spending bill expires on December 11th, this battle will go on all over again. But right now, I mean, first things first, Boehner still has until the October 30th to the end of October to make his case, and we'll see what he wants to bring up. If he brings up controversial measures that only get the support of Democrats to pass, then there'll be a furious outcry from the conservatives, and ultimately Kevin McCarthy could be put in the middle of that, and he'll have to decide which is the right course to take.
We've been talking to the political junkie Ken Rudin about the political future of Bakersfield's Kevin McCarthy, poised to become the next Speaker of the House. At least that's what he hopes happens. He has announced his candidacy for that position, as John Boehner has announced that he is stepping down. You can find Ken Rudin's Political Junkie podcast and his blog, The Scuttle Button Game, and more online at krpoliticaljunkie.com. Ken Rudin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Joe, thank you.